firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
What's on your to-do list? What's on the top? The easiest task or the hardest? Well, just like each of us, the church also has a to-do list, and right at the top is getting out the Word of God. However, is this a task that has become easier or harder to accomplish in our ever-changing world? Well, that's what we're going to find out today on Through the Bible as Dr. J. Vernon McGee takes us through 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Now, as you find your place in God's Word, let's encourage each other with a letter from the Bible Bus that came from an Iraqi listener of Through the Bible's Arabic program. This young man writes, "I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior through your wonderful Through the Bible program. I always listen and record each episode in my notebook to review them from time to time. They have raised me up and restored hope and expectation in my life, especially in these hard times in Iraq, where there is robbery, kidnapping, suffering, and misery beyond what I could bear, carried away by the waves away from this fallen world. But I realized how loving God is to me. That's why I surrender all my life to Him, trusting that He can lead me into the path of righteousness and comfort. Please keep praying for peace in Iraq." Well, what a heartfelt letter, and praise God that God is at work in Iraq. And like I always want to mention, you're invited to pray with the World Prayer Team as we travel to places like Iraq on our knees. Every weekday, we join together in prayer for one country per day, and we cover the globe in a year. So why don't you check it out yourself at ttb.org/pray, and let's do that now. Heavenly Father, please bring godly peace, your peace, to those who love you in Iraq, peace that only comes from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Bring your word to every country that your glory would cover the entire earth. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee, our teacher on Through the Bible.
As we come back today to 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, verse 2, we are in this section that we have labeled in our outline as David and the Ark. Now, we have also called attention to the fact that in Chronicles, the two books of Chronicles, you have God's viewpoint, while in the books of Kings, in 1 and 2 Samuel, you have man's viewpoint. That is, it doesn't mean that the other books are not inspired. It just means God is giving it first to you from man's viewpoint. Then he'd like for you to see his viewpoint. It's not actually a repetition, although it may seem that way in some places. Actually, what you're doing here is getting God's viewpoint, and there's always just enough of a difference to make it clear what God is emphasizing. Now, that is certainly true in this section here. Here we have these chapters, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, given over to David and the Ark. That is, of bringing the Ark up to Jerusalem, to the place that David had chosen. Now, that is something that is quite interesting, by the way, because it could well be given to us some of the state business, some of the many decisions that David made, probably treaties that he made with his enemies, probably an emphasis on wars, and probably an emphasis on certain state function. It could have been given to us very much like one of the TV newscasts given to us today. You know, they give everything today that is not really important. They give the unimportant today, and we get propaganda. It's rather refreshing, I hope that you get that, to get God's viewpoint. I'd love to know God's viewpoint of the news today. And this is a book that'll help me get God's viewpoint. Where's God putting emphasis today? Not where CBS or NBC or ABC or XYZ is putting the emphasis. Where does God put the emphasis? And it's well to have a couple of books like this, and that's what makes them important. Now, God put the emphasis on bringing the Ark this that was the very heart and center of the worship of these people, that which God had given to them. Now, there's another question arises. What had happened to the tabernacle? You want to know, my firm conviction is it worn out. After all, it was a tent, and most of it was covering, and all that apparently was worn out by now. And apparently the golden boards that were there and the brazen pillars and silver bases, they're all gone because the enemies, I guess, took those off. I guess the Philistines got them. But that wasn't the important thing. The important thing was the ark. That's where God met these people, and above the ark was the mercy seat. And that is the important thing today. The most important thing for you and for me is to have a place where we can receive mercy from God. And that's what we need today. We all need God's mercy. And God's prepared to extend mercy, but he has a mercy seat today. Christ, we're told, he is the propitiation. Big word, but all it means is mercy seat. He's the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, that's important to God, and it's not what you hear on TV today that's really important. And it's not the decisions made in Washington. I wouldn't belittle those, but the important decisions are God's decisions. And after all, I suppose it was pretty busy in the staff and in the palace of Napoleon in Paris, and I suppose that that was very important. But, you know, all that you got there today is a museum. They're not making many decisions today. It's not very important. And Versailles, my, how beautiful it is and how important it was. And there have been great decisions made there in the past. But it's just a place, just a showcase today, something to look at. That's all that it is. It might have been well to have known what God thought was important. Now, it's important to see that God is interested in this mercy seat. Now, we saw last time that David attempted to bring the ark up the wrong way. It was the proper thing to bring the ark to Jerusalem. Not only had David chosen Jerusalem and the place, but God had chosen that place. And therefore, it's important to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. But he did it the wrong way. God had given instruction. In the book of Numbers, we saw last time that the ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the Kohathites, of the family of Levi, the priests. They were to carry the ark. And that was the way it was to be done. That ark represents Christ. That ark with the mercy seat on it speaks of the gospel today. And it's to be carried on human shoulders. It's to be carried today. And my friend, getting out the Word of God today is not easy. This idea that it's sort of a picnic. A great many people think church work, that is, if it's the right kind, is, you know, something very delightful. Well, the delightful part is that you're doing His will because you love Him. And that always makes it a thrilling experience. But it's not easy to get out the Word of God. And I would say to you today, Christian friend, if you're having it easy, something wrong. That's the most disturbing thing for any Christian is not when trouble comes to him or the storm comes, but the most disturbing point in his life is when the storm quits blowing and there's a calm and he's feeling good and everything seems to be going right. That's the moment to watch out for, because if you're in the business of getting the Word of God out, it's something that's not very easy to do. Now, will you notice that it has to be done by God's people, and it has to be done God's way. And the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God's only blessing His Word today. And Paul went on to say, he said, they've got to hear. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. It's not foolishness. It's the wisdom of God. But that's the way that God wants it done. And there is today a sight around us. We are seeing a world today that's turned to drugs. We see the restlessness that's about us today. church having departed from the Word of God is in as much disarray as any other. Theology and the great background of both Roman Catholicism and Protestantism today is a shambles, friend. Why? Because they both got away from the Word of God. And as a result, why, they're not doing it God's way. I believe that today, friend, the most important matter is to get the ark of God on the move. That's to get the gospel going out. That's to get the Word of God moving today. And that's the important thing. Great many think it's unimportant. Now, I've spent a little time there because this is where God puts the emphasis. Now, here in chapter 15, David's going to do it the right way. And we're told here in chapter 15, I'll go back over now verse 1 and 2. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Now, God thought that was important and not his housing project. And he had a housing project. It says he made him houses in the city of David. But the important thing that he did was he brought up the ark of God. He got a place for it. Now, David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. The question is, David, why didn't you do that at first? Why did you have to have the sad experience that you did? Well, that's the way most of us learn. It's easier to hindsight's better than foresight, they say, is the old cliche and the old bromide. Well, it's easier for me to go back in and say, David, you did it wrong. And why didn't you do it right at first? And then McGee turns right around, and the next step I take, I do it wrong. And then I have to learn that you have to do it God's way. May I say to you, that's the experience of most of us. Now, David is prepared to do it God's way. Verse 3, and David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he'd prepared for it. Do you remember in days gone by that when America faced a crisis, there was always a day of prayer called for? My friends, that belongs to the dark ages. We don't do that today. We just get together the brain trust in Washington, and they're going to solve the problem. And the only thing is, we have learned that the brain trusts were as foolish as little children in decisions they've made in the past. That is the tragedy of America in this dark hour in which we're living. Oh, my friend, today, I think it would be very important to gather all Israel together to bring up the ark of the Lord. David thought that is important. And God thought that was important, and that's what God put in Chronicles, his viewpoint. Now he gives the list of these who brought it up, sons of Kohath. Verse 12, and he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. And David had prepared a place for it. I'm not sure where that place was exactly. Was it the field at this time of Araunah, the threshing floor? I'm of the opinion that it was, but I don't want to be dogmatic about that, because later on he bought that place as being the place the temple is to be built. Now that's Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered Isaac. That same ridge that is called Mount Moriah, that went right down through Jerusalem, beginning at the temple area, it went right over to where Golgotha is, and Christ was crucified on that. And so this spot, apparently, that was picked here. Now, will you notice, verse 13, for because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Now, David, very frankly, now confesses he blamed God at first, you will recall. He thought God was wrong in taking the life of Uzziah. Then he discovered, we've done this thing wrong. You've got to do it God's way. Now, he confesses that. So the priests and the Levites, this is verse 14, sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Have you noticed the repetition of that expression, the ark of God? The ark of the Lord God of Israel, the ark, the ark, the ark. Well, here it is, again and again and again. And you do get the impression that the Lord's talking about the ark, by the way. It's very important to him. Now we are told, verse 15, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. That is back as we saw in the fourth chapter of Numbers. He was not doing it God's way. Now we are told here, David was a musician, and he wanted music with all of this. And it's nice when it's the right kind of musicians and the right kind of music. And so here he appointed the singers with the instruments of music and the psalters and the harps and the cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. My, I tell you, they had the brass band out there that day. They had the symphony orchestra, and it was a great occasion. Now, this was the high point in David's coming into Jerusalem. It wasn't to capture the city. God doesn't record that here. And it wasn't the great building project that's emphasized. It's the emphasis upon the spiritual. That is where God is putting the emphasis, and I hope we get the message here. Now we read in verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Oh, this was a great day. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. All of these sacrifices pointing to Christ. Verse 28, thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the cornet and with trumpets, with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. I have always, in every church I served, always wanted a big orchestra. I never did have one, my entire ministry. I guess the Lord just didn't want me to have one. But I believe that one of the reasons the church service is so dead today, and the reason that the world's passed it by, you take a look at people going to any church today and see if they look happy. See if there's joy in their lives. My friend, I was looking at a newscast, and it showed the crowd at a baseball game. And I want to say, I didn't see a sad face in a lot. Even those losing didn't seem to be sad. They seemed to be having a good time. And the tragedy of the hour is, God's people don't seem to be having a good time. We ought to. Oh, I tell you, the world in that day heard about David bringing up the ark to Jerusalem. You know why? Why, the visitors that were there went throughout the then known world and said, say you should have been at Jerusalem. That was a great day, a great day. Have you noticed that there's nothing today on news? There's nothing that gets the front page today that reveals that which is spiritual and the joy of the Lord. Oh, if it's a freak sort of thing, if it's an oddball in religion, if it's some religious nut, they put him on or put them on. But my friend, today, that which is spiritual and that which is joyful has disappeared from the life of America. And that's when we began to die, by the way. Now, not everybody was in accord with David. Verse 29, came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at the window, saw King David dancing and playing. She despised him in her heart. She says he's a religious fanatic. He is one that's showing a little interest and enthusiasm, and he's got joy in his heart in serving the Lord. Why, we need a little more of that today. And I don't mean that which is worked up psychologically by a crowd. I mean that which the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the heart and life today. It does not have to be fanaticism, but we do need that underlying river of joy flowing through the hearts and lives of God's people. That's the great message in this chapter here. Now David, in chapter 16, he brings up the ark, and let me read verse 1. So they brought the ark of God, and they set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. I think this is a remarkable passage of Scripture, by the way. They brought up the ark. It was occasion of a great joy on the part of the people. Then there was offered burnt sacrifices. Now, those of you that have been with us a long time in the Through the Bible program know that the burnt offering speaks of the person of Christ. And it's actually what God sees in Christ. The burnt offering, Olamit, ascended to God. And then that peace offering. That peace offering speaks of the fact that Christ made peace by the blood of his cross. And everything is right between us and God when we come through Christ and come God's way. And now this is the great message that's given when they come up to Jerusalem, an exaltation of the person of Christ and of the fact that he shed his blood. Why, here's the gospel right here. Now, David is a musician, as we said. Listen to him. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. My, we today need to get so involved in the Word of God that we do get worked up. Anyone that goes to a baseball game gets worked up, or a football game, why, they call them a fan. But you get worked up about religion, you're a fanatic. And we need today not fanatics, but we do need those to get involved in the Word of God to the place where they feel like thanking and praising the Lord God. And here, David had this organized. Asaph was the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, and then the whole list of it. My, what a group of musicians he had there. Now, we have this glorious psalm of thanksgiving here. Verse 7, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And this is one of David's psalms, and we'll get to it again, for it's Psalm 105. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Friends, today, if we don't begin to talk about God, get his word out, and begin to get the word of God out, well, we've got today, unfortunately, many Christians that know more about the things advertised on TV than they do about the word of God. And there are preachers that know more about the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Angels than they know about the angels in the Bible, and more than they know about the Bible. Today, we have put before us in this computerized age, and we're all being pressed in a little compartment. My Christian friend today, for God's sake, get in the Word of God and find out what the liberty is in Christ. We're talking so much about freedom of speech, but who's talking about God today? There's no freedom for him today. And there's no way of getting his word out to the people. It is just mishmash today. It's just higgly-piggly stuff that's being given to the public. And no wonder a nation, and no wonder the world, is in the mess that it's in today. Now, I tell you, they're praising God back there, and God bless. Oh, we have to leave there today, but we're going to pick right up our next time this marvelous psalm and move on from there.
What a great psalm of praise and testimony of God's work and his world. And what Dr. McGee was urging us to do, we do together when we partner in taking his whole word to the whole world. And also when we pray faithfully that God's will be done in every country of the world in sharing the good news about Jesus. You know, this mission reminds me of our beautiful new 2018 wall calendar. And it's really so much more than a calendar. It's a beautiful reminder of God's promise to cover the earth with his name and his glory. 50 plus years ago, Dr. McGee founded this ministry on Revelation 3:8. And let me read it to you. I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. We're experiencing that open door here at Through the Bible today as opportunities open to broadcast his word. And that's why we've titled this 2018 wall calendar, Through Every Open Door. Through pictures and prayers, we travel the world every month through an open door, prompting us to pray for open Bibles and open hearts in every area across the globe. It's a calendar that you'll love to look at all year long. And in addition, we've included the broadcast schedule so you can read the passage that we'll study every day and the World Prayer Team country of that day so you can pray. You'll also be encouraged by a great quote from Dr. McGee each month. The calendar, it's only available for a little while longer, so call 1-800-65-BIBLE to get yours, or you can order it online at ttb.org/shop. Tomorrow, we'll take a longer look at this Psalm of David, which is recorded for us in Psalm 105. If you get a chance, why don't you read through it on your own to get your heart and head ready? I know I'm going to. And then hop back on the Bible bus for another lesson in the life of David from 1 Chronicles. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving you a seat. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.